Good morning.
I had a very pleasant experience a little while ago. I was upstairs in the main office, and Rabbi Bienenfeld gets a hold of me and he asks me, "Shalom, what are you speaking about today?" So I gave him a synopsis of what I'm going to speak about today, and he said, "You've got to write that up." And I thought, little me, what do I have to say? And especially since this is a shiur in which I, with great fear and trepidation, I disagree with Rav Soloveitchik. Little me. Now, of course, I don't do it all on my own. When I find all sorts of proof to the position that I take, then over the years I developed the courage to say, sorry, you know, the beauty of Torah is there can be disagreement, and we can live side by side with one another in disagreement. And over here, what I want to do is array the sides in this great debate, and, well, let the chips fall where they may. We're going to have to move with speed and alacrity. Number one, Hilchot Tshuva. The Rambam, in the introduction to every section in that great work, Mishneh Torah, he always tells you what is going to be discussed there. Positive commandments, negative commandments. How many positive commandments? How many negative commandments? What they are. There are 10 chapters of Hilchot Tshuva, the laws of repentance. And the Rambam says, Mitzvat Asei Achat, it's one positive commandment, for who? Sheyoshuv HaChotel Mecheto L'Vnei Hashem, that the sinner shall repent from his sin before God, V'yitvadeh, and confess. The Rambam will explain that it means that whatever is going on inside one's mind, he has to formulate the words by which he's going to express it. Take it from the abstract into the concrete. Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshati. Ubeir mitzvah zu, and the explanation of this mitzvah vi kodim hanikrodim imo biglala
biprokim elu. And the explanation of this mitzvah and fundamental principles of Torah that flow from this mitzvah are going to be explained in these chapters. The 10 chapters. Because the Rambam also is going to discuss the 13 articles of the faith and major assumptions of the Jewish creed and belief. Halacha, Torah mitzvah shel Torah, all the commandments in Torah, whether they be bein asei, bein lo asei, whether they be positive or negative commandments, im over other alachat mehen, if a person transgressed one of them, bein bezodom, bein b'shkogah, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally, kishe yase tshuva. Listen very carefully to the formulation of the Rambam, as the Rav always often said in his Tshuva Drashis that the Rambam was very, very careful about the way in which he expressed ideas and halachas. Every word is weighed and measured and has to be read that way. Kishinyasa Tshuva, when one will do Tshuva for Yashuv Micheto, he will turn back from his sin. Chayiv lihitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, he is obligated to confess before God, blessed be He. Already from this sentence, if I would ask you at this point, is tshuva the mitzvah or is vidui the mitzvah? Is tshuva or confession? The Rambam is saying, a man is going to do tshuva. He doesn't say a man should do tshuva. A man is going to do tshuva. And he turns back from sin. Chayiv. What's he obligated to do? Lehit vadot. You have to say the hatasi avisi pashati. Ashamnu bagadnu. Shenema, as it says, and this is with regard to sacrifice, one who brings a sacrifice, Ish o Isha, ki yasu mikol hatota adam, men or women that are going to do any sin, and they will bring a sacrifice, vehitvadu et chatatam asher asu, they should confess the sin that they did. Zev vidui dvarim. This pasuk is talking about confession that is verbal. Words that are said to express the confession. And you know, the Rambam, he's not sparing any words over here. Vidui seh. This confession, mitzvah aseh. It's a positive commandment. I think he's already said it three times, if I'm not mistaken. Vidui seh. This vidui is a positive commandment. Ketzav mitvadeh. How do you say vidui? Omer. This is how you're supposed to do it. Honor Hashem. God, chotosi, ovisi, poshati. I've erred, I've sinned, I've been rebellious. Lefanecha, before you, vasiti, kafu, kafan, I did such and such. Vahareinichanti, I regret. Vovoshti, the Nasai, and I'm embarrassed of what I did. Vovoshti, the Nasai. Now, watch all the elements over here. Regret, that means I regret the past. I am embarrassed now about what I did. And the third element is La'olam eini chozer ledavar zeh kabbalah, I accept upon myself for the future, I'm never going to do it ever again. La'olam eini chozer ledavar zeh, I never go back to this again. Bezehu ikaro shel vidui, this is the essential substance of vidui. The chalamadil his vado sumarav binyan zeh, the person who does this often or a great deal of vidui in this manner, hadesa v'shubach, is praiseworthy, and that's going to be Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're going to say Arshamnu, Bagadnu, Dazalnu a number of times during the course of Yom Kippur. Every Shmona Esrei we're going to say the Alchet Shittatam Ulufanecha, more than 50 Alchets we are going to say. That's the essence, the substance of Yom Kippur is vidui. V'chein balei chatoris v'ashom is the same thing with people who bring sin offerings. Chet is the general sin offering. The osham is for special sins. V'eitchem v'vim kovrenetem ashidotam, and they bring the sacrifice for their shogate, their inadvertent sin. Unintentional, or al zidonam, or in certain cases where you bring a sacrifice even for something that one had done intentionally. Ein mitkapel lehem bekorbanam ad she'asu tshuva v'yivadui vidui dvarim. They don't have. There is no forgiveness. The sacrifice is not something that automatically gives one expiation of sin. One is not forgiven simply because you bring a korban. What's the poor behemoth guilty of? Only if you did tshuva. Achi yasu tshuva v'yisvadu. Now that yasu tshuva can sound over there as though the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva, but you know, it may very well mean simply that if the mitzvah is vidui, what's understood is that there was tshuva in one's heart. If one doesn't regret, and one hasn't made the decision that he's not going to do it again, then it's absolutely ridiculous. It's worse than ridiculous. It's blasphemy to stand up before God, not having done tshuva, and say, Hokosi, Ovisi, Peshati. Obviously, those words of confession have to come from the heart of somebody who has already repented. But the Rambam still didn't say that it's the mitzvah. V'chein ha'chobel v'chavelo, and then he says, v'chein kol chagim, he says, best in those who are supposed to get capital punishment, or mechagim malchus, those who are supposed to get whipping, they are not forgiven, their debt is not a source of forgiveness, nor is the flagellation, all the flagellations that they receive before Bedin, they are not a source of forgiveness, unless a person says, let my death be a kapara, a source of atonement. You have to say vidui.
Shenema v'svara shachotale v'chen kom v'chayve v'chuyo y'mezlis bezim v'chuyo y'malkus ein v'skapalem, they are not forgiven. Ad shiyasu tshuva v'yisvaru, the same thing is true with hachovel v'chaver, if I struck somebody. No, I don't want to say I struck. Reuven hit Shimon and caused him damage and caused him he's hurt. So first of all, you have to pay for the damage, but that's not enough. Even if you've paid up every last penny, you also have to ask for forgiveness, and you have to say vidui eino mitkaper ad sheyivada v'yoshuv milasas kazel olam, and he's going to decide never to do it again. All sins of man require v'yitvadeh. Okay, that's the Rambam. About this Rambam, there's been a great deal of discussion, and in one of his great Shuvat Rashis, the Gaon brings that his, what was it? It was his uncle, the Minchas Chinuch, we're going to talk about that, said that from a simple reading of the Rambam, and maybe even more than a simple reading of the Rambam, they said it's quite clear the Rambam doesn't hold that it's a mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam is saying somebody who does tshuva chayiv l'svados. There's no mitzvah to do tshuva. There's no mitzvah to do tshuva. That is how they read the Rambam. So then the Rav comes along and he says that he heard from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, who gave it over in the name of his Zayde, who was the first of Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Briskyahov, who said, can't accept this idea. Impossible to accept the idea that tshuva is not a mitzvah. Even though the uncle who wrote a sefer, Avodas HaMelech, the Menachem Krakowski, and the Baal Minchas Chinuch, outstanding commentary on the sefer HaChinuch, which is on all of mitzvahs, the Rav has a Kabbalah in his family, can't accept this idea that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, because there are so many psukim in Torah that talk about the mitzvah of tshuva. Batzar lecha, when you will be in terrible straits, all of these terrible things are going to happen to you, the shafto, you will return ad Hashem Elokecha, to God your God. The Shabbat Hashem Elokecha Shutcha v'nichamecha, the Shabbat Kibetzah v'kol ha'amim, the Shafto Ad Hashem Elokecha, the Shafto Ad Hashem Elokecha. It can't be. There's no question about it that the Tshuva, the Rav says, is a mitzvah, and he brings a number of proofs of the Rambam. One of them is number 4. Take a look at number 4. This is a Rambam in chapter 7 of Hilchos Tshuva. Kol hanaviim tzivu ala tshuva. All of the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. Ve'im Yisrael nigolim ela v'tshuva. And Israel will be redeemed only through repentance. U'kvar hivticha Torah. Torah has already guaranteed and promised Shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva v'sof gavim tam. The end is that Israel will do tshuva at the end of their exile. U'miyad hei migolin, and immediately they're going to be redeemed. Shenama, as it says, these are the psukim in the Parshat HaTshuva in Nitzavim. V'hoya ki yavo alecha kol ha'dvarim ha'ele, when all of these things will come upon you, the broka, the klola, the shafta ad Hashem Elokecha, v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. Now, the word v'shafta can be translated in one of two ways. V'shafta can be translated, and you will do tshuva. V'shafta can be translated, and you shall do tshuva. Now, there's a big difference between shall and will. And this is not a class in English grammar. The shafta
And you shall means that the pasuk is telling us this is what's going to happen in the future. Terrible things will befall the Jewish people, and they will do tshuva. Will means that's what's going to happen. Shall means that's what you should do. You shall do that. V'shavta, you do tshuva. So v'shavta can mean one or the other. Either it is an imperative to say do tshuva, or the prophet is telling us, you know, that's what's going to be. There will be terrible things that will come upon you, and you will ultimately do tshuva. One means that it's a mitzvah, and the other simply means that the Torah is telling us what's going to happen. The Shachar Hashem Lekecho, the Shor Hashem Lekecho, Shvut Chatan is going to bring back your returnees, V'nichamecho, they will have mercy on you. The Shor Kibetzel Mekol Ha'am, she's going to gather you in from all of the nations, Asher Efitzcha Hashem Lekecho, Shama, where he had dispersed you. So the Rav brings this halacha as proof that there's a mitzvah. Kol Hanevi'im Kulam, all of the Nevi'im, Tzivu ala Tshuva, they commanded Tshuva. The Rav also brings number three, the one on top, Yom HaKippurim, whose man Tshuva l'Kol, that's in chapter 2 of Hilchos Tshuva, halacha 7. Yom HaKippurim is my tshuva l'kol. Yom HaKippurim is a day of tshuva, a time for tshuva for all. Like Yochid v'lagadim, everybody has to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, the individual and the community. V'hukeitz mechilo slichol Yisrael, it's the end. That's the deadline for forgiveness and atonement for Israel. L'ficha chayavim akol la'asot tshuva ulitvadot b'yom HaKippurim. Here for the first time, we hear something in the words of the Rav that may very in the words of the Rambam that chayavim hakol, all are obligated to do tshuva ol hitvadot and to say vidui on Yom Kippur. Umitzvah vidui Yom HaKippurim and the mitzvah of vidui. Now notice, he just now made a little switch over. He doesn't say mitzvah tshuva uvidui. The mitzvah of vidui of Yom Kippur begins erev Yom Kippur. Tomorrow, when we daven mincha, we're already going to say al chetche chatanu lepanecha or shanu pagadnu. We're going to say all of that in the mincha of erev Yom Kippur, because the mitzvah of vidui begins on Yom Kippur, on erev Yom Kippur, before he eats. Before you eat, has to show him something to go wrong while you're eating, and one will have not had the opportunity to say vidui. Shema yichonik the suda kodim shemisrada before something may choke before he says vidui. V'afal pishe his vada kodim shiyochol, and even though one said vidui before he ate, chayzud misvada b'leiyoy mitikur maravis, he can go say vidui again on Yom Kippur night in Marav. And again, you're going to say vidui in the morning, and by Musaf, and by Mincha, and by Ne'ilah. And where do you pay from his father? Achat filoso, after you've finished Shmon Esrei, Shliach Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur says vidui in the middle of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. We say our vidui at the conclusion, finished. I finish Moresa and then I begin with Oshanu, Vagadnu, etc. So the Rav quotes this halacha as well as proof that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of tshuva. Chayavim akol la'asot tshuva. The third, and I think this is the last proof that Rav Soloveitchik brings to his position, is the koteret. The opening, the very opening, what the Rambam writes at the top, mitzvah asei achat, v'hu, one positive commandment is going to be discussed over here, v'hu, sheyoshuv hachote mecheto l'fnei Hashem, that the chote shall return back from sin before God and say vidui. Alright? Now, as I say, b'dechilu rechimu, with a sense of fear and trepidation, I want to take the other position.
I want to take the other position. The other position is enunciated, as we had said, by the Minchas Chinuch. I don't have the Minchas Chinuch here on the page, but I do have two other significant ones. One that I found just yesterday. Never knew of its existence. Rav Kook, in his Sefer Mishpat Koine, if you take a look at number 5, Be'etzer HaDor, really quickly, and with the substance of what we're talking about, he had brought something from the Chidor of Chaim Yosef David Azulai, one of the great of a few generations ago, that the Chidor says that tshuva kruya mitzvah saseh, that tshuva is called a positive commandment. Ain't no tova pasha. That's not so simple. If you just look at the words of the Rambam that we've all read here now at the beginning, tshuva ain't a mechlal mitzvah asay. Tshuva is not a mitzvah asay. Elo a mitzvah who shekishiyase tshuva of his father. The mitzvah is that if a person does tshuva, then his obligation is to say vidui. The kivan shei a tshuva mitzvah asay. This is related to what he had discussed earlier, and three lines of that. The Svila Rambam, the Rambam holds Shalom Tzinu Befeder Shom the Torah Belashim Mitzvah Latshuva. The Rambam holds that we never saw any place Befeder Shom Torah where the Torah says you should do tshuva. V'shachto Ab Hashem Elokecha. And you will return when all the tzaras come upon you. You will return to God, your God. The Rambam himself said, "Kvar hivtiha Torah." This is a promise. The Torah says the end is you're going to do tshuva. But the Torah doesn't say any place. Rav Kook says, according to Dalam, the Torah doesn't say any place. You have to do tshuva. The Svile laHakamdam Shalom Atzinu b'Feidu Shomer the Torah v'Loshet Mitzvah laTshuva. We don't find any place that the Torah said clearly. The terminology of mitzvah by tshuva. Even though this is, of course, a treasured means of achieving atonement for sins, we come on, the mitzvah sasei, hey, no, it's not a mitzvah sasei. How do you like that? Rav Kook. Meshach Chochma, the Meir Simcha. Says first of all, he can't understand. What do you mean you have to do tshuva? What do you mean you have to do tshuva? You did an avera. So now that's it. You did an avera, and maybe if you did an avera, so now what about maybe if you do it again if you want to? Doesn't mean you can do it again. Or the same prohibition on doing the avera that existed before you did it the first time. That same prohibition is there before you want to do it the second time. And then first of all it says, halfway down, underlined, Omnam, mitzvah hatshuva, number 6, Omnam, mitzvah hatshuva, the mitzvah of tshuva shalzev, tzorech mitzvah protis, hu shin choto, v'ozev eschetto, mitzvah lehisvados. You know what the mitzvah of tshuva is? If you did tshuva, then you have an obligation to express it verbally, to say before God, he knows that he's a sinner, and he has to, he knows how he should feel about it, he knows that he rebelled against God, he did something that he shouldn't do, and he asks for forgiveness, and that's, says the same thing, so is the, this is Lashon Rabbeinu. That's the terminology that's used by our Rebbe, the Rambam. Bilchus tshuva, kishiyasa tshuva, v'yoshuv mecheto. When a person is going to do tshuva, yes, Perish, lebli chato, he decides not to sin, machmas atzivui, shu mitzuvah shalolava. He's not going to sin again because the same command is in place not to do that avera. Just as he should not have done it the time of Yishona, before he sinned. Bein mitzvah. I say, be mitzvah slosser, chayev le his vados. All right, you have to say vidui, and you also have to have in mind that you're not going to do it anymore, because that's of course otherwise vidui is meaningless. So, alright, now we have Minchas Chinuch, we have the Rav's uncle, we have Rav Kook, we have the Meshach Chochma that reads the Rambam as the Rambam seems to say it. Now, I want to deal for a moment before I take my position. You know, I've made it already very safe for me to take the position. I already have an array of scholars who hold the same thing. I think that what excited Rabbi Bienenfeld before was that after you study the tshuva drashas of the Rav, you can't see the Rambam anymore in a different light than the way the Rav did. He was awesome. He overwhelms you. But you know what? That's the beauty of Torah. I'm going to disagree. And you know what? I'm going to bring a raya from the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't hold that there is a mitzvah of tshuva min haTorah. Let's go back to number four. Number four is that which the Rambam, which the Rav brought as proof that there's a mitzvah. Kol hanavim kulam tzivu ala tshuva. All of the prophets commanded Jews to do tshuva. So the Rav says there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. I say, oh no! This is absolute proof of the fact that there is no mitzvah in our Torah to do tshuva. Did the Rambam ever write Kol hanavim kulam, all the prophets commanded keeping Shabbos? Does the Rambam ever write all of the prophets commanded you to eat kosher? About one idea in all of Torah, does the Rambam come along and say all the prophets commanded you to do tshuva? You know why the prophets commanded? Because there is no mitzvah in Torah. So what the prophets are saying is, Chevra, we're giving you good advice. This is precisely proof that there is no mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva. Now, if you're getting upset, like if there's no mitzvah, so what are we doing anyway? Wait. I think that on the contrary, the whole idea of tshuva is going to rise to a completely different level. And then, watch this Rambam. This Rambam, this is a beauty. Number two, you didn't think that I was going to skip one. We learned number one and number three and number four. You think I was going to skip number two? Listen to number two. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to see what is it that I see in this Rambam. All right, 20 seconds. Umahi atshuva. The Rambam asks, and what is tshuva? Who sheyazov achotei cheto, that a sinner should forsake, leave the sin, the yisido mimachshav, to remove it from his thought, the yigmar belivo, and decide in his heart shelo yaseyu, he's never going to do it again. Shenema, as it says, Yeshayahu says, this is the haftorah for every fast day. Yazov rosho darbo biyish oven machshavosav. V'yoshov el Hashem v'yirachameyu ve'el elokeinu ki'ar ve'el eslar yazov rosh atako. Let the sinner forsake, leave the path upon which he had traveled and remove the thought of sin. V'chein, you know what else is required in tshuva? Yitznachem al sha'avar. He should regret the past. Shenema, Yirmiyo says, ki'acharei shuvi nichamti. After I did tshuva, I regretted ever having done the sin in the first place. The yoid, and ultimately, tshuva is the yoid all of your day talumot, that the one who knows all secrets, God Himself, should testify about Him. Shelo yoshev lo ze'achet li'olam, that He will never return to this sin. Shenema, as it says, and this was in the haftarah of Shabbos, tshuva, at the end of Hosea. Hosea says, v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maseh yadeinu, we will never again say about that which we made with our own hands, this is our God. V'tzorek v'svados b'slotov, and you have to say vidui with your lips, the lo me'inyonos elu, and to say these ideas should come up legal that he decided in his heart. 20 seconds. What is it that strikes me about this halacha and the Rambam? The Rambam wants to describe the fundamental pillars upon which Tshuva is based. And you know where he learns it from? From Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Hosea. He can't bring a single pasuk in Torah to describe to me what Tshuva is. Isn't that fascinating? It's a mitzvah saseh in our Torah. There is no pasuk in Torah that can tell us these major pillars of Tshuva. Yes, to go bis Yeshayahu, skip over to Yirmiyahu, come back to Hosea, who was before them all. You know why? Because there is no mitzvah in the Torah of Tshuva. There is no mitzvah of Tshuva. The only mitzvah is, if you do Tshuva, then you have a responsibility. You want forgiveness, then you have a responsibility to stand up in the fullness of your personality and honestly and forthright and say before God, the Bein Shem, I sinned. I think that's a beautiful, I like this one. I like this one. The Chomet also brought proof from the Kotere, the headline. Mitzvot Asei Achat, one mitzvah say, who should Yoshev Achote Necheta Lufnei Hashem B'Yizvada, that the sinner should do tshuva before God and say, and confess. Here it seems like there are two things, tshuva and vidui. I say, you know how I read the Kotere of the Rambam? Tshuva is a process. Tshuva is a process. Tshuva begins with a sense, I'm upset with myself. Why did I have to do that? Did I really enjoy it? I knew it wasn't right. You walk around with a good, healthy, guilty conscience for a while. There are all sorts of things that are boiling in your kishkes, going through your mind. There's a whole process until you say, vey, 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 what did I do? What did I do? I'm embarrassed the religion knows what I did. There's a whole inner process until one, you know, until you decide, you know, I'm going straight. I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going straight. When one has completed that inner torment, turbulence, storminess, and one has arrived, I'm going to do tshuva. So then you know what the next step is. You've gone through all this. The next step is you have to get up and say to God, Kotasi Avisi Poshati. The first part of this process, the turmoil, the torment, the tempestuousness, that all took place between me and me. Nobody else was involved in that. As I stand up before God, God now becomes the second in this process. There's me and God. In the Kotere, the Rambam is not talking about the inner turmoil that preceded all of this. Mitzvah Asei Achat Hu SheYoshev Achote Milcheto L'Sneh Hashem. If you went through all of the turmoil, now stand up before God. And you know what you do when you stand up before God? Mitzvah. You say Vidui. It's not the process of tshuva. The process of tshuva you did already. You went through all of the pain and the suffering involved. But now, after you've done all of that, and there's no mitzvah to do that. There is no mitzvah to do that. That's the real tshuva. No mitzvah to do that. Now, okay, you've gone through that process. Now stand up with Shnei Hashem, the Yitvaka.
All right. So we have the, so I believe we've done so far. There's our focus. The Chav, his father, and his great-grandfather. All right? They're on one side of the scale. Now, I don't know if they're going to tip the scales there, because there are some heavyweights on the other side. There's Minchas Chinuch, there's our cook, that may Simcha, that may Shachachma. And maybe just a little bit gold, let's say. Won't add much of featherweight, but that may tip the scales. But the truth is, we don't have to tip the scales at all. Abel's Abel Divrei Elokim Chayim. Both are Torah and both are true. There's an idea behind it all. And I'll tell you what the idea is. You have heard some of this over the last 10, 15 years in different shiurim, of a different source, of different nature, but we're bringing it all together now. The Malvin, number 6, top of the second side. The Malvin is the first Malvin on Parshas Truma. What it says, the Yikuli Truma, the people of Israel shall take unto me a donation from which we're going to build the Mishkan. Look at the words of the God. Here you will get the idea. By the way, the idea came to me before I saw the mountain. The mountain is just going to intensify it. But there's a very important fundamental principle of Torah that's going to be enunciated. I can know. The Yikuli Truma, Hishna Kama Pratim, there are details here. Lo Omar V'yitnu Li Truma. He wants to answer the question, why didn't God tell Moshe, speak unto the children of Israel and tell them, Yitnu Li, they should give me a Truma for my Mishnah? It says, no, V'yitnu means that you should be ready to receive the donations. But there is no command to give. So he says, you know why it doesn't say v'yitnu? Because if it would have said v'yitnu, there would have been a positive commandment and an obligation you have to give. Hashem rotzeh, you know what God wanted? That the donation for his Mishkan should be something that comes completely from the free will of a Jew. Nothing to coerce it. It should come from the depths of his neshama. If there would be a positive commandment to give to the Pesach, to the Mishkan, so you know what you can do, right? Listen to the question. He's having a difficult time. You don't understand. The markets are collapsing. He doesn't have the money with which to build his Mishkan. He needs help. Okay, he needs help. Listen, so we'll bail him out and we'll give him for his Mishkan. God doesn't need for his Mishkan. You know who needs what? We need to have that inner sense that we want to share in this. So the mountain is saying, God didn't say it's a mitzvah to give to the Mishkan because he wants it to come from the fullness and the depth of the heart of the Jew. You know what the fundamental principle here is? Not everything has to be a mitzvah and not everything should be a mitzvah. There are basic ideas in Yahadut that know if you know what is God's will, you should want to do it because of your own free will. Malvin goes on to say, "Hashem also God wanted you to mosu to hear me nitvas leiv." Shetumazu tia me nitvas leiv. But its own chavshi, free will, lo aleichum hecha, nothing coercing the Jew. The im hoyot zivu shiyitnu. If there would have been a command that they should give, hoyum notnim behecha, if they would have given donations to the Mishkan, because they were coerced, ayyadei zivu, through the command. Lachain beir, that's why he made it clear. Chain and mitzvah, shiyitnu. There is no mitzvah that they should give to the Mishkan. Rak shiyamanu gabayim, they have to appoint people. To receive from whoever wants to give. whole idea started by me 40 years ago, maybe even more. There's a set of Svarim Sridei Eish written by Rabbi Yechiel Yankov Weinberg, who was lived in Montreux. He had been in the Berliner Seminar in Berlin, had to flee like everybody had to flee, and he lived Luzern. So I saw this. He asks the following question: why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? On Purim we're supposed to send Shalach Manos. Why don't we say bracha Shekin Shanu b'mitzvah b'tzivanu l'shleach Manos ish l'dayeh, to send gifts from. It would be a beautiful gift, a beautiful bracha to say. Very. And then, of course, there'd be a lot of Torah. Do you say one bracha on all the Shalach Manos you send? Or do you say a bracha on every Shalach Manos you send? Now, if it's only an apple and a peanut, do you say a bracha? Or does it have to be a shear? You know, how much do you get? So he says, you may want to say that you don't say a bracha on Shalach Manos for the same reason that you don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. You give tzedakah. Give tzedakah. There's no bracha on tzedakah. And the Rashba, or the great Rishon, says, you know why you don't say a bracha on tzedakah? Because tzedakah requires a second person. What happens if the poor man will not want to accept any mitzvah that I cannot fulfill alone? They don't make a bracha. So he says that would not help us with regard to Shalach Manos, because by Shalach Manos you may not know this halacha. But there's a very Shalach in Shulchan Aruch, I send Shalach Manos to somebody, and the somebody says, no thank you. You know what? I was late to the midst of the Shalach Manos. I get my Shalach Manos back. And I was late to the mitzvah. So therefore the question is, that means Mishloach Manos depends on me alone. So why don't I say a bracha? So he expresses a simple idea. The purpose of Mishloach Manos was to create a sense of ahava, va'achva, friendship between Jew and fellow Jew. You know what would kill it completely? If you say, Asher kinshonu b'mitzvoso v'tzivonu, he commanded me to like you. I don't like you. I can't stand the sight of you. But there's a mitzvah to give Mishloach Manos. All right. I said, son, mitzvah, mitzvah. Take the apple. Take the peanut. No. The mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is something that's supposed to come from the neshama of one Jew to a fellow Jew. The idea of tzivonu would shatter it completely. Just as the Malbin said with regard to donations for the Mishkan, to command Jews to give would be robbing them of the great opportunity of Kabbalah. I want to participate in the construction of a home for you on the face of this earth. There are certain things that have to come mitoch haneshama. Not because there's a mitzvah. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. There are things we can do in this world that are not mitzvahs. But you know what they are? I recognize Ritzon Hashem. I know what God's will is, and that's what I'm doing. He wants a house to be built for him. I want to be part of that. I know that he and the rabbis want that there should be friendship between Jew and fellow Jew. Yes, so it comes from the depth of my neshama. My greatest proof to this idea was the day on which I said, wow, Reb Moshe Feinstein was right. I love his Psak Halacha. There was a Psak Halacha that I do tshuva now, but I've done tshuva on this in the past already. Reb Moshe Paskin said, there's no mitzvah to come on Aliyah. There's no mitzvah to come with an Eretz Yisrael. He does say that if a person doesn't in fact do that, if you come here, then you have fulfilled a mitzvah. I was very upset. Big Zionist now. As I'm whistling Hatikva and I think of the Chamesha, no mitzvah delivered at itself. What's he talking about? Until it struck me one day. What a great psak halacha that is. And by the way, precisely the same thing is said by Rav Soloveitchik. Here, to balance out this whole shit, I'm going to agree with Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik also said there is no mitzvah, there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you come here, go ahead, Malka.
It's a mitzvah ki yumit v'lo ki yumit.
Alright, so Malka has told us what the Rav Moshe says, and Moshe Rav held the same thing, that it's a mitzvah ki yumit, that means if you do it, you fulfill the mitzvah. But there is no obligation. And then one day it suddenly struck me. What a great halacha. What a great psak halacha from Rav Meisha and Lasalvetic. It means that out of the fullness of my own free will, I can decide to come live in the land that I know God wants us. Nothing coerces me. I'm not running away from the IRS. Everything is going fine. My Balabatana give me a lifetime contract. Meleft in Melacht. But I know that it's God's will. As I quoted to you a number of times, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the great story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Erbach, some gvir from Chutzlar had spent months preparing all the Rishonim and Achronim and all of the all of that is written about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah chiyuvit? Or is it a mitzvah chiyumit? Is it no mitzvah at all? Is it a big avera? That's the living Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah chiyumit. Get it? And this guy prepares all of the all of the sources, he makes an appointment, and he finally comes into Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he starts pouring out all of this learning, and Rav Shlomo Zalman sort of gives him cause to pause, like and Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "Sinish vichdik." This dude from Chutzlars is can't believe what he. First mate the Hashiva. What did he mean? He's prepared all of this great stuff. And here it is, he's pouring it out to the Gobi Yisrael, and the Gobi Yisrael tells him, Sinish Yisrael, his uncle. So Shlomo Zalman said, open up a Chumash, and on every page, you'll see that God's will is, he wants Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. I don't care whether it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, or it's a mitzvah kiyumis, or it's not a mitzvah at all, or some will hold an aveda. It doesn't make any difference. The story of all of Torah is that's God's will. And as long as there's no mitzvah, that's great. So there's nothing coercing me. In the fullness of my personality, I can pick myself up. God, I'm going to do your will. There's no greater mitzvah than that. Do you know what I'm saying? All of the discussions about is there a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael or not a mitzvah, it's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. Incidentally, there are major ideas of Inyadus that are not listed in any of the listings of the mitzvahs. I don't believe there's a mitzvah in any place that says that you have to believe in the coming of the Mashiach. Mitzvah saseh, lahamin, in the coming of the Mashiach. The 613 mitzvahs. A mitzvah to believe in tchiyat ha-meitim, the resurrection of the dead. No mitzvah. But there are fundamental ideas in Yahadut that don't have to be enshrined in the legalism of a mitzvah. There are things that we do even if we haven't been told that we must do it. That's mitzvah Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. That's the mitzvah of giving to the Mishkan. And I once wanted to explain, there's a famous statement of the famous statement of the Chachmei HaKabbalah. the Chachmei HaKabbalah say that, and it's a fascinating statement, Yom HaKippurim, the day of Kippurim. So they say, you know what it means? It's a day like Purim. Purim. A day like Purim. What an awesome statement to make! The most sacred, the holiest, the most solemn day of the year, if you want to know what it's like. It's like the most frivolous day of the year. What do you mean? What? How can you even say that? So I want to say, you know what the Pshat is? What was the greatness of Purim? The Gemara says, Kimu Mashekidlu Kvar, that in the days of Mordechai and Esther, Jews accepted upon themselves of their own free will the Torah that had been given at Sinai. That's the essence of Yom Kippur. Not the fulfillment of a mitzvah of tshuva, but accepting it upon oneself of one's own free will. I know I did something wrong. You didn't tell me to do tshuva, God, but I couldn't care less what you tell me or what you don't tell me. I'm not going to do it again. I regret it. I feel bad. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I feel guilty. And therefore I say, Oshamnu Bogadnu Gazam. You ever notice in Shmon Esrei, the brachas of Shmon Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Chonein Hadas, the one who graces us with intelligence. Baruch Atah Hashem, God is Mevarech Hashon, and He blesses the years. God is Shover Oyvim Umachnia Zedim, He destroys the enemies of Israel. Okay, Nihidatzah. Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim, He's the builder of Yerushalayim, He showed Me'at Tefillah, He listens. There's one bracha that is radically different than all of the rest of the brachas in Shmoneh Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem, Ha'Rotzeh B'Tshuva, who wants tshuva. I don't coerce you, I don't force you. For all intents and purposes, you know what it means? I mean, your mercy, Klal Yisrael. How do you like that? God is at our mercy. I would love for you to do tshuva. You know what a rotzeh b'tshuva means? Let's say it in another way. God's rotzon, God's will is that we should do tshuva. He's not coercing us. No mitzvah. God's will is that we should live in Eretz Yisrael. Not coercing you. Not forcing you. I don't want anybody to come here if they feel coerced. You're going to come over here to my Eretz Yisrael and complain? Come to my Eretz Yisrael where you want to be here and you realize that that's the fulfillment of God's will. You want to complain? Stay in New York and complain. We don't need you here. There are certain major ideas that don't have to be enshrined in mitzvah. On the contrary, their greatness is that there is no mitzvah. The greatness of tshuva is there's no mitzvah. The greatness of coming to live in Eretz Yisrael is when there is no mitzvah to come live in Eretz Yisrael. The greatness of Mishloach Manos is when there is no mitzvah, but we learn to love one another. Alright. I have two things that I must go through now, and we're going to do it. Number 10 is a famous medrash. There is so much that has been written about this medrash. You have the translation there. Sha'alu l'chokhma. Sha'alu l'chokhma, they asked wisdom, what punishment is proper for one who commits a sin? The answer is coming from Mishlei, which is a book of wisdom. Pasuk in Proverbs, Mishlei says, evil will pursue the sinners. You know, Philip committed a crime 20 years ago. And one day he comes walking in to the local police station and says, I surrender, I did it. There's something about crime and sin that eats away at the neshama, and the very evil that men do pursues them.
Shalul and Nebuah, they ask prophecy. What punishment is proper for one who commits a sin?
Yecheskel says it. A sin? You rejected and denied the word of God?
What are you talking about? The soul that sins shall die. What are you talking about? An act of rebelliousness against God.
Now listen carefully.
Shalul Torah, they ask Torah. What is the punishment for a sinner? And Torah replied, let him bring a sin offering, which will atone. Let him bring a carbon. Let him bring a carbon.
Wait a minute. If there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Tshuva, why didn't the Medrash say that Torah's response is, do Tshuva?
Do you know where we hear about Tshuva? Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they ask the Holy One, blessed be He. Chote, Mahu Oncho, what's the punishment of a sinner? Amalam, so God responded, Yaseh Tshuva, let him do Tshuva, be his scapelo, and he will be forgiven.
God isn't even commanding. God is giving a good answer. You know what? If he wants to get along with me, don't worry. Let him do Tshuva, and he will be forgiven. As it says, Tov v'yoshar, Hashem, God is good and just. Al kein yorech ha-toin v'aderech, he shows the way for Hashem.
He shows them the way. It doesn't say he tells them in what road to travel.
He shows them the correct road.
You want to go in that road?
Go.
I'm saying Tshuva, and when I say Tshuva is not a mitzvah, that does not mean that Tshuva is any less than anything else in Torah. On the contrary, it rises to the level of being Ritzon Hashem.
A child knows what a parent wants of him.
Does the parent always have to say precisely do this and don't do that?
The child knows. And the good child is going to do what they know to be the parent's will.
We know what the relation wants. And we can do it in the fullness of our own free will.
And then one day, a few years ago, I found the Nigiri, number 7. And here, we'll just go through a few lines, beginning with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Middle of line 6, the Me'iri says the following. In his definition of tshuva, lo he'iri tohu v'tshuva ahi, he was not aroused to do that tshuva because of chumshat teva, weakness, a natural weakness, o zikna, or old age, o heder hazmana v'yecholet, because he doesn't have the opportunity or the possibility or the ability to do the sin, o tochachas mochiach, he's come to tshuva, nobody has admonished him, nobody's told him what to do. It's not because he saw somebody else who was punished because they did that avera. So dover, listen to this. Do you know why a man is doing tshuva? Bottom line. Lo hit orel libo lesiba manasibas. There was absolutely no cause whatsoever that he should do tshuva. Rak shehei tov tov kavanato.
His goodness, his good intent. He doesn't say that what aroused him to do tshuva was because of mitzvah. I'm going to do tshuva. Nothing coerced him. Nothing brought him to do it. And being a Bayeshim Yasho, inside, he's embarrassed of himself. Miboro, he's embarrassed of his creator. Ba'asiyat ha'avedo time when he did those avedos. Bonin, the man began to think about Achriso, what's going to end it, what the end is going to be. And you know what he did? Hichnia libo v'yitzro. He humbled his heart and his inclination, Loshua Hashem, to return to God. He forsook Ozav Darko Machshavosov, Heiti Horchosov, Valzeh Doshua Chazal, our rabbi said, Ashtei Ish
Yireyat Hashem. Fortunate is the one who fears God when he's still a man. Do you know what the Bible is talking about? There was no coercion, no mitzvah, no obligation, no responsibility. Everything came from within the will springs of the human being. That's tshuva. No mitzvah, but the highest level of tshuva. No mitzvah. Oh no. And therefore, the Rambam, I read the Rambam clearly. Chayiv lehitvadot. And you know why you have to say vidui? Because as long as the tshuva remains in your heart and in your mind, and it doesn't, it has not entered reality, easy come, easy go, it's not enough. You have to ground the tshuva. And you know how you ground it, how you give it substance, and you say it out of your mouth. There are things we never want to say, but when I can get myself to say the Beinish Lenin, I sin. Only does that tshuva become good tshuva. Okay? Listen, he got some. May it be the will of the Beinish Lenin that we should do it so no, from our own free ratzon. And that, listen, remember, I think, I don't know why this week, every time I came to Avinu Malkeinu, Hofer Atzas Soneinu, shatter the counsel of our enemies. That's what we have to say over and over again after we've done tshuva. And the Rosh is happy with us. And so that it's possible that two conflicting opinions can exist within the Torah world. Those who hold that it is a myth, there is a mitzvah of tshuva, and those who hold there is no mitzvah of tshuva. Okay.